Wall Street honeymoons only last a New York minute.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. It's good to have you with us this Thursday morning. So it looks like Obama's going to win. The stock market's up 300 points. Then Obama does win. The market's down 500. Nothing against the new president. Traders say once Election Day uncertainty was passed, it was time to focus on the economy again. And it's not fun to focus on the economy. The Dow lost 486 points yesterday, 5% to 9,139. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 also off 5%. Asian markets dropped sharply today. Stocks in Britain are also way down this morning, even though the Bank of England just announced a surprisingly deep cut in interest rates by 1.5%. Our Stephen Beard is in London.
Analysts had predicted the bank would cut by no more than half of 1%. Clearly, the bank is more worried about the UK's economic slowdown than many supposed. But there has been a lot of very negative economic data of late. House prices fell a further 2.2% last month. New car sales in October were 23% lower than the same month last year. And activity in the service sector, the backbone of the British economy, has just shrunk for the sixth month in a row. Today's deep cut in interest rates takes them to 3%, the lowest level in Britain for more than 50 years. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
This week, we're asking what President Obama will mean to individual American industries. Reporter Elisa Roth joins us. Elisa, what can energy companies expect from Obama, given all he said about energy and oil drilling during the campaign?
During his campaign, Obama offered some conditional support for offshore drilling. We'll have to see how far he actually takes that when he is really president. There's also talk of windfall taxes for these very wealthy companies, and that could really add up to some bad news for them. I talked to Rick Nicholson. He's a researcher at Energy Insights, and this is what he had to say.
What that really means for the oil and gas industry is they're going to have a tougher time under an Obama administration. You're going to see a slowdown in investment in technology in the oil and gas segment.
So does that mean a continued drop in oil prices?
Not necessarily. Rick Nicholson thinks they'll go back up somewhat, so that's why he thinks a windfall tax still makes sense. But another industry observer I talked to said the Obama administration really needs to treat the oil issue the way the U.S. has been treating the financial crisis, as an international issue. So he thinks that the U.S. should cooperate with the European Union and other governments to figure out a way to use reserves and the like so that we can keep oil prices from jumping all over the place.
What does all this mean for the utility business?
There's been a lot of talk about forcing utility companies to switch to cleaner technologies. So clean coal is something that people have been talking about. Even natural gas has been tossed around as an idea by some people. The real question is, how much money is the administration willing to invest in the development of these new technologies? In any case, there's the possibility of a second stimulus package coming out of Congress, and that would likely direct money into infrastructure investments. This is what Rick Nicholson had to say on that.
What you're talking about is a lot of new infrastructure, transforming the grid from sort of a very dumb electromechanically controlled grid to a digital smart grid.
Not only would a new grid work better, but hopefully something like it would also be more energy efficient.
Marketplace's Elisa Roth in New York. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, working for improved healthcare access with Health Connect, a practical guide to community outreach. Available to patient-serving groups at medtronic.com/community. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
By now, you probably know that one of the culprits in the current financial mess was this security called the credit default swap, basically insurance that banks took out to guard against risky investments. They trade in something called the over-the-counter market, which may be another reason we're in this mess. But what is the over-the-counter market exactly? We asked Rico Galliano to explain on the latest installment of the Marketplace Decoder.
Okay, to truly understand this thing, we gotta take you back to the 1700s. And by we, I mean Mike Hatley, president of Westgate Horizons Advisors.
The New York Stock Exchange started in the 1700s. Before that, stocks actually traded in the general store.
A general store was like a retail outlet for stocks, and there were a bunch of general stores all over the Big Apple.
You would go to the merchant at the store if you wanted to trade a stock, and you would trade the stock literally over the counter.
Now, you know from going, say, shoe shopping, that it's tough to check out every shoe joint in town to find the best deal on that limited edition pair of Pumas. Same went for stocks. Different general stores might sell the same stock at different prices.
A number of people decided, including Alexander Hamilton, that it would be really a good idea if there was a central place to do all the stock trading, and they formed the predecessor of the New York Stock Exchange.
But even today, not every stock sells on the NYSE. Some don't sell on any exchange. Those stocks and many other financial products that aren't sold on exchanges still trade OTC, over-the-counter.
Over-the-counter trading is trading that's done in a unregulated market.
Jeff Carter is an independent speculator and a former director of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. He says unregulated is the operative word here. On a regulated exchange, traders can only work with shares listed on the exchange. OTC traders can sell anything they want, from penny stocks to complex credit default swaps. There's no middleman and few rules. Kind of like the old general store writ large. And it's not for everyone.
The average Joe on the street is not equipped to do over-the-counter trading, and they're also not probably big enough. These are big, big transactions. It's a professional market.
But recently, professionals have lost big in the OTC market, thanks to the unexpected collapse of big players like Lehman Brothers. So Carter says there are moves afoot to build in some safeguards. For instance, by creating so-called clearinghouses, which ensure traders can actually afford to make deals. And he says the government may consider some oversight, too. In Los Angeles, I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
The Dow lost 486 yesterday to 9139. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.